This is Dave Summers, and welcome to AMA's Edgewise, where you will hear fresh insights from recognized thought leaders across a wide range of subject matters. AMA's Edgewise is brought to you by the American Management Association. The AMA is a global leader in professional development and education, improving the immediate performance and long-term growth of individuals and organizations. Check us out on our website, www.amanet.org. Every major workplace survey conducted in the last 20 years has emphasized the need for praise and recognition in driving business results. In fact, long-term success is almost impossible without effective recognition. In his new book, The Carrot Principle, co-written with Adrian Gostick, Chester Elton explains the remarkably simple but powerful methods great managers use to provide their employees with effective recognition, which all managers can easily learn and begin practicing for immediate results. Chester Elton is Vice President of Performance Recognition with the O.C. Tanner Recognition Company, the world's leading employee recognition firm. Chester, glad to have you with us here today. Now, for your book, you've done a lot of research on the drivers for workplace motivation and success. What were some of the findings that really jumped out at you?
Yes, we have lots of ahas, but three or four that popped up that really were striking. One was, and we had the assumption that managers were an important part of the execution of company strategies, that they really controlled the culture. But we had no idea to the degree that that was true, that really the link between the boardroom and your client runs through your manager supervisory level. And that if you haven't equipped those managers with the tools to get the message through, to manage the people that are your client-facing people, your chances for success are almost nil. That was one big aha. The second one is that as you give employees more recognition, certain things went up progressively. You know, the likelihood of you being at your job a year from now, the retention question. The more recognition an employee got, the more likely they were to stay. The more recognition an employee received, the more likely they were to be completely satisfied with their work. But what we found wasn't progressive was the engagement score. And that's kind of the holy grail. You know, if they're satisfied, that's one thing. But engagement, that's where people are going the extra mile. They treat the company as if it were their own. They stay extra hours. They do above and beyond things for your client. That one was classically not progressive in the classic four quartiles. From good to great, the difference is 50, 60 basis points. And what that told us was that when you look at a reward and recognition strategy, you have to have a plan. And you have to execute the plan. You have to be consistent. You have to be predictable. It has to be fair. Everybody has to be eligible. You can't just wing it. And that, for me, was one of the really big ahas. You got to have a plan. You got to execute the plan.
Now, I've recently heard someone say motivation is old school. Is motivation an old concept that's getting taken for granted? How do you keep it fresh and relevant?
Yeah, you know, old school, new school, motivation, it's had its day, it's passé and so on, or it's, again, this softer side. If you're a great motivator, great, just show me the numbers, you know, show me the money. But what we're finding more and more is that it's no longer a nice to have or old school. It's a pretty much must have. You better know what's important to your employees and how to motivate them. You know, particularly in this world where we have such a diverse workforce, where you just can't assume everybody wants, you know, a Starbucks or time off. You know, what's interesting is I talked to my father, you talk about old school, new school. When he was working, he said that, you know, it was funny, when I was being rewarded by my company as a young up-and-coming worker, they would reward me with overtime. You know, that was the reward. You get to work more. Whereas I think, you know, nowadays you talk to kids and say, they like me so much they gave me a week off, you know, or they sent me to a conference. So you really need to know the motivation piece because it's so diverse. Now, one thing that I want to talk about before we jump off this is, again, in those ahas we had in the basic four, we wanted to see what was the number one characteristic correlator to managers that were high users of recognition. And the number one correlator was trust. Fascinating. I mean, if you take a look at, you know, do you want your organization to be seen as trustworthy? Well, I think in particularly this day and age, if you can't be perceived as trustworthy, you don't have a business. And so that idea where particularly with new employees, can they trust you? Well, this is what we found. Managers that pulled employees into the spotlight and recognized them for their good works, the trust scale just shot off the scale. And when you think about it, That makes a lot of sense. Now, we did focus groups. We asked employees, what was the number one way your manager broke trust with you? Number one reason was he took credit or she took credit for my work. And we've all had that happen to us. You know, we worked like crazy to get the numbers ready for the board meeting, and the guy gets up there and it's all him or it's all her. And isn't it interesting that recognition tells employees that when you work hard, I will give you credit, and trust goes up. Fascinating.
Chester, can you give an example of how the carrot idea is working in some of your client organizations?
Well, you know, great question. Again, we love the metaphor of the carrot. You know, the carrot is the reward for the good things. The opposite of the carrot would be the stick, right? And so as we looked at the data and we looked at our focus groups, clearly we wanted practical application. So we took a look at some of the clients we've been working with over the years and said, okay, what are your results? Because again, we're in business to stay in business. You've got to show me a return on equity, a return on assets. And in fact, in the book, when we isolated the question, my organization recognizes me for excellence, return on equity, return on assets, was three times those organizations that were not seen as recognizers of excellence. Well, let's take that to the practical. KPMG has done a tremendous job in using what we call the carrot principle. They took a look, you know, as their whole industry was going through scrutiny from the Arthur Anderson and Sarbanes-Oxley and so on. They were concerned that when they asked their employees, you know, is KPMG a great place to work? The score wasn't where they wanted it to be. Taking a look at recognition as the delivery of we appreciate your work, what you do here is important, they implemented a strategy that has worked beautifully for them. And over the last couple of years, that score has gone up 20, 25 points, which is a huge jump in a fairly short period of time. When you also look at benefits from the implementation of the carrot strategy, what they looked at is that employees that had received some kind of formal recognition in the past 12 months were twice as likely to stay with the organization as those that didn't.
So there's really a big retention benefit.
Big retention benefit. And when you look at one of your biggest hidden costs, certainly turnover, not the involuntary, but the voluntary turnover. I mean, some people you want to turn over, right? But the involuntary, where they're leaving for the competition, they're leaving for different industries, replacing those people, training them, and so on. Obviously, the costs are, everybody's familiar with it. But reducing turnover by 50%, is enormous. Now, does that mean that they're just going to start throwing awards at people? No. You know, as we talk about in the book, it has to be purpose-driven, rewarding the right behaviors, customer service, on-time delivery, zero defects, whatever it might be. We thought that was a fascinating piece of information. Sylvia Brandes, who was running the program there, shared that with us. So we looked at other industries. We said, is that just in financials and consulting and so on? We looked at DHL. You know, they've got a wonderful distribution hub just outside of Columbus, Ohio. They distribute a million packages a day. Perry Belcastro, who runs that facility, they have a strategy that we help them implement, an online strategy. They can see managers that use the recognition and managers that don't. Managers that were high users of recognition, again, had 50% less turnover than managers that didn't. Now, we work with organizations and say, look, if you could reduce your turnover by 2 or 3%, would that impact your bottom line? Oh, it'd be huge. How about 50%? How about that number? You know? So again, their big charge at both these wonderful organizations, KPMG and DHL, is to now take it throughout the organization. How are they doing that? They're training their managers, making sure they know how to reward behavior appropriately. You talk about old school. A lot of the guys that are old school say, I've seen it before. We passed out the t-shirts. We dressed up in togas. You know, it just didn't work. Well, they're not doing it right. Scott Northcutt, who is now the executive vice president globally for DHL, is not only looking at the success he's had in the U.S., but how do we now take this to Asia? How do we take this to Europe? How do we take this to Africa? And it's really rewarding to see that, again, recognition in any culture, in any language, continues to be.
Are you seeing that this is transferable globally?
Absolutely. You know, Adrian and I have gone to Asia often, Europe and so on. And the first time we went, you know, we went to Singapore and we said, hey, is this going to work? You know, I mean, it was great that you invited us to your conference, but Is it going to work? We found that the execution is culturally a little different. For example, in some cultures, individual recognition is not quite appropriate, but team recognition is always appropriate. So you've got to know cultural nuances, and certainly the things that you give people can sometimes have different connotations. You know, in some cultures, you give someone a clock, it means your time is up and you're going to be laid off. So if you're celebrating someone's great achievement and at the same time telling them that they've been fired, obviously not appropriate. But the idea that when I perform, I want to be thanked, that seems to be pretty universal.
So for the managers who are listening, what are the two or three things that they can take away from the Carrot Principle?
Yeah, I'm often asked that question. What can I do today? I get the theory, but give me some execution. I love what DHL does or KPMG, but I'm just this loan manager. In our book, actually, The Carrot Principle, we have a whole section. It's got like 125 little tips, no cost, low cost. But I will tell you the thing that I find that has huge impact is a simple handwritten thank you note. I'll tell managers, go out and buy a stack of thank you notes and blast emails and copying people. It's all very good. But there's something about when you take the time to just write it down and sign your name. Now, we talk to managers about being frequent, specific, and timely. So don't just write a thank you note that says, hey, great job, because general praise has no impact on people. Specificity has great impact. Hey, thanks, Chuck, for staying late, keeping the store open. That was one of our top customers. You know, they'll be a customer for life because you went the extra mile. When we talk about customer service, it's you. Signed, you know, Chester. Well, you know what? I'm always amazed as we go into organizations we work with, how many times people will take that handwritten note and post it on the wall. A simple little thing. I've timed it. It takes 90 seconds. The other thing is, you know, ask people how they want to be recognized. There's an implicit contract there. So, you know, we want to reward you more for your behavior, but what would be important to you? Would it be time off? Would it be, you know, tickets to a ball game? There's a great question that we ask in a little recognition survey we have. It says, if you had a day to do anything you wanted to do, what would you do? Gives you great insight into what your employees would really appreciate. So be frequent in your praise. We find that, you know, nobody gets enough thank yous, whether it be verbal or public. Secondly, the power of a handwritten thank you note. And then make sure that when you do reward somebody, it's something that they'll appreciate. Don't give rodeo tickets to somebody who's a season ticket holder at the opera. Those kinds of things. But again, you know, you'll be amazed at 90 seconds, a little handwritten thank you note, how much it can mean to people.
The personal touch, right?
Absolutely. Make it personal.
Well, thanks a lot, Chester.
You got it.
Now it's time for You've Been Spotted with Kevin Lee. It's where we interview random people who are attending a workshop or seminar at one of our 5 executive conference centers. For more information on our executive conference centers and seminars, please visit our website, www.amanet.org. Here's Kevin.
Today I'm at AMA's Executive Conference Center in New York, and I'm asking seminar participants to share what motivates them to do the best job they can at work.
For me, my core motivators are just being the best that I can be. For my company, I believe we have the best products, and therefore that motivates me. That gets me excited to go out there and talk to my customers about why they should be using the best products that are available to them, and I have a deep, deep passion about those products.
Well, what motivates me is really results. So I need to be able to see results from what I do. And when I see results out of the as an outcome from my, you know, my role or my project or whatnot, that just continues to motivate me. And really the environment that I'm in affects my motivation. So if I'm in a friendly, positive environment, that motivates me further because I'm highly driven. But if you put me in an environment where it's negative and it's not a very happy environment, that'll not only be demotivating, it'll just make me want to remove myself from that environment.
I think feeling good about what I'm doing day in and day out and knowing that people are respecting me and they appreciate the hard work that I've contributed day in and day out, and that they're seeing that I definitely want to better myself and improve the skills that my strengths that I do have, and actually enhance them and hopefully master them as I move forward in my career.
Those are just some responses from people at AMA seminars. What motivates you to do the best job you can at work? We want to know. Send us an email at podcast@amanet.org.
Just remember, we really need your feedback. So please drop us an email at podcast@amanet.org or call us at 800-697-3406. That number again is 800-697-3406. Thanks for taking us along. I'm Dave Summers, and you've been listening to AMA's Edgewise.